From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the latest episode of Why Not Mint Money. I'm your host, Jash Kriplari. Last week, an amendment in the finance bill took away the long-term capital gains tax benefit that came with debt mutual funds. For investors that held their investments for more than 3 years, they could benefit from the long-term capital gains tax rate of 20%. This came along with indexation benefit. In today's episode, I'm joined by Deepesh Raghav, who is a registered investment advisor and the founder of Personal Finance Plan, on what are the alternatives now for investors as this new rule kicks in from 1st of April.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi, Deepesh. Welcome to the latest episode of Why Not Mint Money. So, Deepesh, we wanted to connect with you to understand, you know, what are the kind of alternatives now there for the investors, given the fact that, you know, the finance bill has taken away the long-term capital gains tax benefit that debt mutual funds had with them. So, what do you think are now the alternatives for the investors?
Ajay, thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for inviting me. Yes, so indexation and 20% tax was the biggest advantage that mutual funds had, debt funds had over bank FDs. Now that it has been taken away, so what could be the alternatives? First, clearly, the first one is the bank fixed deposits. Now, with the biggest advantage away, these are on a relative basis, should be attractive to investors. The other part, the other option could be arbitrage funds. Now, arbitrage funds, even though they have the risk and return profile of a debt fund, but they have taxation of an equity fund. At least for now, even with this change, these arbitrage funds have not been touched. So clearly, these also become more attractive. So arbitrage funds, equity taxation is 15% for short term. For equity, short term is less than 1 year. And for long term gains, it is 10%, which is over 12 months. So clearly, for people in the higher income tax brackets, arbitrage funds will also become attractive. A third alternative could be direct bonds. Now, bonds, the reason why I believe people did not get into bonds earlier were twofold. The first was, of course, it is not very easy to buy bonds. So either you have to go through a separate registration process like RBI Direct, or the face value of some of these bonds is quite high. So you cannot buy in small amounts, which let's say a debt fund or FD would allow you to do. So these will now that the biggest, and the second is of course that their interest is taxed at your slab rate. Now that debt funds will also be treated in the same manner, these bonds will also become attractive. In fact, some of these bonds are also available for a very long duration. You can buy a government bond for 40 years. There are not many ways in India using which you can lock in your rate of interest for 40 years. The only exception perhaps is an annuity plan. So these plans also should become relatively attractive. The other part, though I hate to say this, is that of non-participating plans in traditional insurance. So these plans, they had a whole host of issues, very low returns, poor taxation, very high exit costs. In case you want to exit in between, you have a problem. But still, they do offer tax returns. Right. Now, to some investors, 5-6% post tax might be a very decent rate of return. Right. So with all their problems, at least I'm sure there are a set of investors who will find these kind of products more attractive.
Right.
The others are certain alternative assets which people might find attractive, AIFs, etc. But again, I'm not sure given their minimum quantum of investment required, I'm not sure they will find traction in the retail investors.
Right. Agreed. But, you know, when I was looking at arbitrage schemes, right, the return profile is not as much as, you know, rather, you know, it's on the lower side, maybe if we compare with traditional categories. So how do you think that arbitrage sort of would, you know, sit in for investors that are looking at, you know, something similar to, say, you know, a debt fund sort of a return, you know, where returns are, were still, you know, at least post-tax, you know, earlier about 7%, like, for example, if it was a, you know, target maturity fund. So any thoughts on this?
So yes, arbitrage is not a replacement for a very long-term, you know, long-term bond fund. It could be a replacement for an investment, which could be a shorter duration investment. Not when it's shorter duration, not in terms of your investment horizon,
okay,
but in terms of the maturity of the bonds, right?
Right.
So the problem with arbitrage funds, Josh, is that they don't have this concept of YTM. At least we can't see that. We can't see that on these portals, what is the YTM. But on a pre-tax basis, expect returns which are very similar to a liquid fund. Beyond that, it's a, it becomes more of a tax play.
Without
indexation, you pay tax at 10% for long term.
Sure.
Now, it's possible that with liquid funds, 20% after indexation might actually be less than 10%. But we don't know that.
But
now that this advantage has been taken away, arbitrage funds certainly become attractive. How we use it is a different matter.
And also, you know, what about the corporate FDs? How are they in terms of an alternative for investors right now?
The corporate FD is slightly, it has to be answered with a lot of nuance. The reason is, so bank FD, you know, whether you open with ICICI, SBI, HDFC, Axis, your money is safe.
Right.
But you can't save with a corporate FD, right? A lot of people have lost money within corporate FDs,
right?
So I don't want to make a blanket statement over there. Yes, if you if you're going with, let's say, something like an HDFC or say like a Bajaj Finance, NBFC, right? Are issuing FD. I'm perhaps okay with this. Because I believe these are systemically important, and these your money should be saved with these kind of companies, or even say of FD from some of the reputed fund corporate houses in India. But beyond that, you have to exercise a lot of discretion. You cannot, you know, think of all the FDs as same. Look at their credit ratings, go with really assured names. But having said that, provided you are going with a very reliable name, yes, these also become attractive compared to on the relative basis.
Say, let's like take example of target maturity fund, right? Now those kind of products would you know, on a post-tax basis, were able to offer, you know, up around 7%, 7-odd% to investors in terms of the yield. I mean, of course, there are caveats, right? You have to stay invested throughout the maturity of the fund. In that context, you know, is there a like-to-like replacement out there now for investors?
For now, no. At least not in the, you know, formal. Formal is the wrong word. Not in the products which should be easier to access. So though it's clearly not there, with indexation, 20% tax rate, I don't think it will be available. So that is clearly a blow. One thing that you can do is that, let's say somebody is 40 or 35 years old and they know that they can hold on to this investment for a very long time.
Right.
Instead of, let's say, a target maturity product, they could look at a long duration mutual fund, or even a short duration mutual fund which they can stay invested for a very long time, say 25 years. Once you retire, perhaps the in some ways the way mutual fund taxation works on first in first out basis, you might be able to control the taxes that you pay. Otherwise, this indexation is going away. There is there's nothing much that you can do. After April 1, before April 1, again, if you have the money with you right now, you can invest in target maturity products, you can invest in long duration bond funds, you can invest in short duration bond funds. Because beyond that, there is no other option. We have to live with what we have.
Right.
In fact, even if there was such a product where people could route money, expect that loophole to be plugged, given how things are going forward. In fact, that is very much possible with arbitrage funds also.
So basically, from what I'm understanding from what you're saying is that if you are, you know, going to retire, then you wait till the time you retire and then you withdraw. So the capital gains you will book in that case will be at your income tax. And by the time you retire, you know, most probably your income would be lower. You will fall in the lower tax bracket is what you are trying to say, right?
I would love to fall in the highest income tax bracket possible. That means I have more money. But yes, given the person a limited amount of money, yes, that is the idea. And right, you know, right. Josh, that also gives us some kind of control over how much taxes we pay.
Sure.
Because after retirement, you know, it's not that you only have to sell from your debt funds. In case I want a bit of control on my taxation, I might also sell from my equities. Nothing stops me from selling my equities also.
Absolutely.
So though an equity taxation, at least for now, I mean, your retirement or my retirement are, you know, many years away.
Right.
But still, in that case, we might be able to qualify for a lower tax rate.
Right. In that sense, that benefit is still there in mutual funds. Like, you can kind of delay your tax incidence, and that gives you certain control in the kind of example that you laid out.
Exactly. Right. So the advantage that debt funds offered over FDs were not limited to a tax benefit. Of course, that was the biggest advantage.
Right.
There are other benefits also, and this is one. The other one being mutual funds will allow your money to compound better.
Okay.
Why? Because, so let's take an example. Let's say you put 100 rupees in a bank FD and you put 100 rupees in a debt mutual.
Right.
In FD, whether you use the money or no, you'll have to pay, let's say you are also in 30% tax bracket, you have to pay 3% tax.
Right.
10%, right. So 10% is the FD interest rate, 100 rupees is the principal. First year you earn 10%, 10 rupees. 1 rupee will be deducted as TDS, which is 10%. Remain 2 rupees, you'll have to pay as tax from your own pocket. So net 107 rupee is what goes into the second year for compounding.
Sure.
Again, slight minor caveat here. FD amount will still be 109, but 2 rupees is what you pay from your pocket.
Right.
So, but net only 107 is compounding. In debt mutual funds, you don't pay any tax until you sell the money. And if you're not selling it, the 100 becomes 110.
Right.
And then the compound happens on a much bigger amount. So that itself will lead to a much bigger corpus compared to FDs.
Sure.
But I must say, FD or bank FD is perhaps the simplest product in the world.
Right.
So a lot of people get into this complexity of debt fund, and it's not difficult to pick up wrong debt mutual fund.
It's very
difficult to pick up a wrong bank FD. There's no wrong bank FD, right? All bank FDs are good.
Right.
So those aspects you also have to see. Investors who are anyways in, let's say, 5, 0, 5, 10% tax bracket, there is anyways a little merit for them to invest in debt mutual funds.
Right.
Because 20% after indexation was anyways going to be about
10%. And Dipesh, what about the collateral, so-called collateral damage of this whole thing, the international funds, gold funds, you know? How do investors now approach these categories going ahead? Because these also have lost, unfortunately, because they were being treated as debt for all practical purposes, for the taxation purposes. Now they have also lost that LTCG, long-term capital gains advantage. So what's the outlook there?
Yes, extremely unfair to them. I think that was also not the intent to tax them, but I mean, you can write tax rules in a certain way. So, tax rules until now have been written in terms of how much equity exposure you have.
Right.
So, clearly a very big hit. With gold, you still have some recourse because gold bonds are untouched. You can go ahead and invest in gold bonds. And gold bond taxation was anyways more favorable than gold ETFs or gold mutual funds.
Right.
So, gold bond was a much better way of investing in gold compared to gold ETFs.
You mean sovereign gold bonds, right?
Yes, sovereign gold.
Yeah.
So there is no problem. You still have alternative to invest in gold.
Sure.
The problem is international equity funds. Not much you can do about it. If let's say you are really keen to take this indexation benefit, you can send money via LRS abroad, where there is also still the TCS of 20%, and then you can buy stocks directly.
Right.
There is still some confusion over whether if you buy, let's say, S&P 500 Nasdaq ETF abroad, will that be eligible for indexation? I'm not very, very clear about this. You know, perhaps somebody who is more
Right.
A bit more of an expert in tax matters can answer this question better. Right. But clearly, if you buy, let's say, stocks abroad, if buying stocks directly is a cup of tea, you will get those benefits doing that. But yes, collateral damage, nothing much you can do.
Right.
I hope there's a rethink on this. And actually, by the way, in any case, given what is the stance of RBI in terms of allowing mutual funds to invest abroad, it's possible that, you know, this route may automatically close because the limits will soon be breached. It's only a matter of time.
Sure.
So,
clearly we'll have to, wait and watch on that one. Right. And, you know, you are an advisor, you have dealt with so many families, so many individuals. So going ahead, if, you know, say an investor comes to you, and wants to plan, of course, it would depend on their risk appetite and a lot of things, but, you know, wants to have, a long-term portfolio and have certain amount in debt and certain allocation to equity, you know, how would you go about, in the current environment, go about advising that person for their long-term investment goals?
Right. So assuming you're talking about a long-term investment or a goal which is long-term.
Right.
I think asset allocation remains as it should be. So different people have preference for or have appetite for different kinds of allocation. So that should remain the way it is.
Right.
But yes, the allocation within the fixed income portfolio, between different kinds of fixed income assets.
Right.
That remains to be seen. For instance, so even for long-term portfolios, PPF is a given. Nothing has changed. It is a beautiful product. Sure. PPF is a given. Excellent product, right?
Sure.
Some people, again, with a lot of caveats, NPS becomes slightly attractive.
Sure.
Right? Because NPS allows you tax-free rebalancing. One of the biggest hits that happens because of this, Josh, is that rebalancing becomes more costly.
Okay.
They have to shift from debt to equity, I have to pay more tax.
Right.
That becomes a problem. At least, so with NPS, products like NPS, perhaps that part will be easier.
Okay,
Because at least, so NPS defers your taxes. You pay taxes, in fact, only when you withdraw the money. And even then, 60% is tax-free, only 40% you use. It is possible. But again, that is a long-term investment, not for everyone.
Right.
NPS has its own sets of issues. Your money is stuck for a very long time.
Right.
You have to compulsorily buy annuity plans and all that. So
right.
That's another. And yes, as an advisor, it's also my responsibility to lay down all the options that they have.
Sure.
Earlier, it was easier for me to convince them to go for debt mutual funds. Now,
right.
I'll tell, okay, these are the differences.
Sure.
And now, if you prefer a very safe product, then perhaps FD is a very good. FD is a reasonable choice now, which perhaps was not choice about a week back.
Right.
So those
things
we have to discuss. It's not just me. It's a consensus based decision.
Sure.
So accordingly, the advice comes through.
Right. With that, Dipesh, I think that would be a good point to wrap things. Thanks for joining us today. I think this was quite informative, and given so much of changes are happening in that space, and I'm sure investors are also trying to figure out how they should go about their plans and goals, and should they change something or should they stick with what they have. So I'm sure this will help them in that direction. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you liked this episode and would like to hear to more such interesting conversations, do log into our channel Why Not Mint Money on Spotify, where you'd always find me omnipresent. Also, if you have any new ideas or suggestions, you can DM me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @JashKriplani, that is JashKriplani. You can always reach out to us over the email. Our email ID is mintmoney@livemint.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
Hey friends, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.